The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
All right, here's hour two, and it's Backbone Radio. And I should say the date, March 17th, 2020. Coming near the end of the coronavirus lockdown. And we'll talk more corona as the show goes on. I want to get a thing or two in on, Judge Sullivan and the Obamagate revelations, which are piling up on us. And I'll tell you this, Judge Sullivan, and I've been crediting Father Hugh, the one and only Father Hugh, who called this last week, said that Sullivan's going to find some way to delay this. You know, he's going to maybe say, Flynn, all right, you go ahead and appeal this anyway. But what Judge Sullivan did was try to buy time for the deep state. They're going to try to not let Flynn go free before November. And they're desperate to do so. And I'll tell you what, for me, it tells me that they are even more desperate on this than I had realized. I mean, I knew they were worried. I knew that they were panicking and all this. But this is like desperation on a scale that is a pretty severe magnitude. The kind of desperation that makes me think that they really do think that if this all comes out, that they're in jail, that they go down, that their permanent reputation is tarnished in history, no matter who writes it, winners or losers. So what Judge Sullivan has had to do by saying that, well, he's going to bring in some extra opinions. He wants to add some more opinions to solicit outside people to come in and offer their opinions on the Flynn situation. And he even tried to get some retired judge who was an obvious Clinton appointee, partisan hack who wrote a Washington Post op-ed not only last week talking about how guilty Flynn is. He wanted to bring this guy in, okay? And clearly buying time and going against a Supreme Court decision that came out also last week that was majority opinion of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that saying that basically a judge like Sullivan can't do what he just tried to do here. So it's an embarrassment to judges anywhere on this planet. He has ripped off his black robe and showed a political hack in the extreme underneath, which does a service to all of us, you know, who think, well, judges, you know, maybe good judges, bad. But I had no idea that judges could be this explicitly, outrageously, over-the-top, shark-jumping corrupt. And to do this, what Judge Sullivan has to do is overlooked the fact that they've never had the original 302. The original 302 of the original Flynn interview has gone missing. And Judge Sullivan says, well, you know, things get lost. He said this back in March. Things get lost. Things happen. Don't worry about it. So he has to overlook that. And the original 302 is the one in which the FBI people that interviewed him didn't think Flynn was lying, as Nunes has testified. And he was briefed on it back in January of 2017. All right? Judge Sullivan must also overlook all this exculpatory information that Judge found, or Jeff Jensen, the U.S. attorney from St. Louis, he dug up and found all this exculpatory info that somehow was never handed over to the Flynn defense team, ever. Like, all this stuff. And the new revelations about how Flynn was set up by the FBI, Sullivan has to overlook all of that incredibly obvious stuff. And he just doesn't have any rationale for what he has done other than pure partisan hackery, and to delay. And what Barack Obama did with that panic attack messaging that I did an hour on last week, that was a message in retrospect that was recorded to Judge Sullivan to try to tell Sullivan, you got to stop this no matter what. You got to stop this now. Then the lawfare people probably came up with this little plan, whispered in Judge Sullivan's ear, and he probably, you know, was all ears for outside counsel to help him out of this tight spot that he is in because he wants to see Flynn go down to try to help Barack Obama himself. This is a key point of Obamagate. All right? So all of this is worse than I had ever thought. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just worse. And it tells you why from the get-go, the media, the deep state, the Democrats have been all hands on deck to get Trump thrown out of office. One scandal to the next, one hoax to the next, Russian collusion. Never happened, never existed. They made it all up. The entire Mueller 675-day scam, found nothing, had nothing, knew he had nothing all the way along. It was an obstruction scheme, a setup on Trump. That was a zero. Why would they go to that level? And then the Adam Schiff, Pelosi, Ukraine impeachment hoax thing. And this not to mention all of the dozens upon dozens of other little mini hoaxes along the way. They have realized all the way along, the Spygate perps, the Deep State perps, the Obamagate perps, that if they don't get rid of Trump, that they are going to roast. There is a Brian Dean Wright, who is a former CIA guy, Democrat actually, but who's on Twitter. I follow him quite a bit. He was on Fox News some. But he says the punishment for these perps should be the death penalty. Whoa. This former CIA man says, you know, if these guys get proven guilty, people like Comey, Brennan, and others should get the death penalty. He said that right there on Fox News, and I was like, holy cow, dude. Maybe it's really been that bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got more on this I'm going to amplify, but I better get right to the phone lines here. And let's see. Let's go to Charlene. Charlene on line one. And Charlene, welcome aboard. And how are you doing tonight?
Hi there.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I tell you what, it is good radio when Karen Catlin calls in fired up. I really enjoyed
that. Oh, me too.
Yeah, I like that animated discourse. Anyway, I'm still in Arkansas but until the summer, and I get my garden harvested, and then I'll be back out there. So I'm keeping an eye on everything, and I'm hoping everything opens up, because it's not much fun out there when things aren't open. And, you know, you can't drive where mountains and where you want to.
Deeply
so
unnatural.
Anyway, I feel like Colorado's on the front lines, and it's beautiful what everyone is doing. But, you know, I've been watching this thing on the COVID thing, and you know, Clinton still has his global initiative, and he interviewed Newsom and Cuomo the other day, and they're talking about, you know, they've got the panic created like they wanted, they've got the shutdowns, and so they're on to the next step, which is testing and contact tracing.
Yep.
And you know, COVID was, I mean Clinton was just giddy. He was talking about how they're going to get contact tracing teams like the AmeriCorps. We're going to get grants, and the federal government's going to fund it.
Yeah, Pelosi's got that in her bill. They've got the contact tracing.
Exactly.
They've got their all-male voting and all that. And, you know, you see what they're trying to do with this.
And, you know, there's a lot of money in it, because this testing is $74. And let's say you get $200 million to take it. That's quite a bit of money. And then the vaccine is a lot of money. And the
profit center, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is like $900 for a 10-day supply, that new drug that they're rolling out, and they won't use the old one that's just as effective. So anyway, you know, they're just on to the next step. And so I just don't see how Polis is going to stay in this pact and not follow suit with these other Democrat governors. I mean, he's got his work to do along with them. And, you know, he's stalling everything, you know, like you have to go through this health and hospitals committee to get a variance, and then you go on to the county health department, and then you know, it finally gets up to the state health department, and then POLIS, and, you know, it can be just, you know, rejected along
right.
the
he's
way.
Coming under a lot of pressure from the national Democrat left media. He's going to be coming under a lot of pressure from the other governors of progressive left-wing totalitarian states to say, oh, you can't set a bad example, Polis, by opening up when we're still locked down. You can't leave us hanging here. And so we'll see how he responds to that pressure. Yeah,
Colorado's are pushing back with pressure, too. So he is really walking a tight wire, you know, trying to lie to the president.
But the longer they walk, people are just not going to do it. They're just not. And there is not enough law enforcement in any state, to keep millions of people in their homes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, they have this leverage where they can take their license and they can shut down restaurants. So, how are you going to get out if there's no place to go? You know,
I mean, they're going to like turn like entire cities into ghost towns. How does that work for them?
You know, they're doing it, and it's working in these blue states.
Well, they can pick off a handful that like are the first ones over the bridge, but when everybody starts rushing the bridge, they can't do it. And I think that we're not getting too far from that point.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, being in the health profession, and I'm retired now, so
retired nurse. Yes.
Say what I want.
And so you say, is it time to 100% open, or do we need to like open in a gradated manner in a safe way? What do you think?
Oh, well, a phasing in is fine, and that way nobody can file suit and say, well, they weren't careful, you know.
Sure.
I mean, we do have to respect these people that are so fearful right now, but, you know, just phasing in, and like in Arkansas, the pools are opening up on May 22nd, and that's phasing in. Gyms are open, and chiropractors and dentists and everything, and the restaurants are dine-in open.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's just all I want to say about that is that it's great to keep the pressure on polls. But, you know, if you're in the health medical field, you really, and you have a business, you really can't go out and say, you know, this COVID thing, you know, it's overblown. Because, I mean, you've got to keep your patience. You've got to, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do have a little different perspective in that I am on the front lines. I'm a front lines healthcare worker in the middle of this war against the invisible enemy. But, Charlene, thank you. Thank you.
News Talk 710, KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
We're in the middle of it. La Revolution.
Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be?
It's gonna be all right.
All right.
Isn't that right, John? Yeah, if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, Chairman Xi Jinping, who Trump is not very happy with right now. Oh, yeah, we got big trouble ahead with China. For China, we're going to come off a lot better off out of that decoupling that's about to happen. We'll get to that here after a bit. But one perspective, you know, just to do tie up a little bit on coronavirus, and we got more as the show goes on, that if President Trump had followed, you know, the Fauci orders and so forth, and the more draconian healthcare people orders are the people that came up with those faulty models. And if he had not followed their advice and he had not locked down the country, do you know what the media would be doing? They're saying, oh, Trump has blood on his hands. Look at these thousands of deaths we've had in this country, and it's all because of Donald Trump, and they would bang that all the way to November. You know that. So how did Trump solve that little problem? He put it on the 50 governors. Each of the 50 governors has to decide when they want to open, and they've got some criteria federally established that they can work with on when to open up. And so Trump knows that, you know, these Democrat governors are going to show the people who they are, what they're about, what they want, how they want to govern. And you got a few states, you know, California keeps extending its lockdown, Governor Newsom. Is that going to help him in California? Michigan, that governor up there, Whitmer, is crazy. And she's not helping herself up there. But is there any other way? I mean, what can Trump, if Trump opens, mandates to open up the entire country, Trump does that, then what's the media going to say? Oh, look, he's killing all these people. Trump is killing people all across this country. You see how this works, right? I mean, it is a real virus. It's a real disease. A lot of people don't do well. It tends to be that you have almost everybody's in a nursing home who dies. And then there's Governor Cuomo in New York mandating that nursing homes accept COVID-positive patients. How is that for stupid? I mean, New York has been a complete train wreck between Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio. They've seeded this nation with the virus. And by the way, Elise Stefanik is going to sign on to an investigation of Cuomo and his decisions to mandate that nursing homes bring in COVID-positive patients. And that's the solution to this, is actually to do the opposite. Nursing homes are the most vulnerable. They need to be the most protected. And if our society, and by the way, I said this from the very start of this virus months ago, we're going to have to focus on the most vulnerable. And putting healthy, younger people in prison, which seems to be the left-wing plan here, is not going to be, it's not going to work. It's not going to be sustainable. And they are sure showing all of us their true colors. And that's why the rebellion is happening and brewing and increasing. And if you think it's a rebellion now, just look at it next week and the week after and the week after. And I'm telling you, no Democrat politician is going to be able to stand up to that tidal wave that's going to roll over them, as originally engineered by Trump's ingenious policy to have the 50 shock absorbers allow the 50 state governors to decide what they're going to do. And yeah, you're going to see some red states and some blue states start to line up. And interesting that the blue states are going to be saying, well, yeah, we're not going to go to work, but you red staters who are going to be killing people, and we're going to be morally superior to you red state people, you can go to work and pay taxes to keep us afloat in our out-of-work blue states, because we want everybody at home. See how all that works? A lot of tensions come out of this. And frankly, so much of this comes from the Trump derangement syndrome that the left has established into their brains going back an awful long time now. And we're at that level where they are so desperate. And so desperate, yes, in part to ward off Spygate and Obamagate. That's a good example, is Clapper won't come testify until he gets vaccinated. He won't testify until he gets a vaccine. Way to go, Clapper. They're using it as an excuse for everything, and the all-mail ballot and so forth, and to get increased surveillance, the contact tracing. But again, if Trump walled all that off, then he's killed all these people, right? Sometimes you got to let the left show you who they are. And I think Trump has been a master of that as he waited out Mueller. And as he waited out the Schiff Ukraine impeachment hoax, he's an expert at, is it Aikido or is it Judo, where you use your opponent's, the opponent's force against themselves? Like, they come at you with everything they've got, and you just sort of lean a little bit out of the way and let them harm their own selves. Anyway, I hope that makes sense. And let's get to the phones. And we've got Jack here. And Jack, welcome aboard, and thank you for checking in. What do you got tonight?
Yeah, this Sullivan guy, I got big problems with him, and I've got practically no time whatsoever. So let me be as quick as I possibly can.
Bring it.
It's the Attorney General, whether it's of the federal courts or it's the United States Attorney General or whether it's the state courts, the Attorney General decides what crimes are to be brought forward to be prosecuted. It is not the bench's decision to decide what should be tried. Now, under law,
yes,
anywhere
exactly.
that you go in this country, anywhere you go in this country, under law, Attorney General, statewide, federal, whatever, they are obligated to dismiss a case if they have exculpatory evidence or if they have a reason to believe that the charges were not properly brought. That's exactly what we have here. This guy Sullivan is so far out of where he should be. And I've heard some stuff saying he's basing his stuff on amicus briefs. On amicus brief, believe it or not, folks, if you're not familiar with the court system, that's nothing but lobbying. That's all it is. I filed it myself. I've sent my opinion to the court, hoping that the judge would listen to it and maybe look at it from that point of view, which is exactly what lobbyists do. They present their position. It has no power of law.
And by the way, Judge Sullivan was asked if he could have amicus briefs brought in months ago, years ago, in this whole Flynn situation. And he said no back then, but now all of a sudden he says yes. Now he wants them. See, there's
amicus briefs.
He's obviously he's not doing this for legal reasons. He doesn't have anything law on the side of what he's doing. This is pure politics and trying to save Obama. And by the way, did you know that Judge Sullivan is a good friend of Eric Holder, the wingman
for
Barack Obama? Molly Hemingway was saying that on Fox News the other day, that yeah, Sullivan and Holder are quite close. How's that for good?
If Sullivan gets away with this, and every judge that sits behind any bench in this country can decide what is prosecutable and what isn't. They become the prosecuting attorneys as well as the jurors.
And what you're describing, Jack, is another institution trampled by the Obama team.
Exactly.
Another of our cherished institutions that the Obama people, the deep state people, have run roughshod over and destroyed. You agree with that?
If they want to get their law books back open, look real close at fraud against fraud in the inducement. Fraud in the inducement. There has never been a case in the history of this country of fraud in the inducement that's more glaring than the presidency of Barack Obama. That's all I got.
All over us. It's called Obamagate, Jack, and it's picking up steam right now. Be right back.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Oh yeah, a little mindfulness music here. Oh yeah, sit back and make sure you've got that mindful vibe going here with Diva, Premal. Kind of like this stuff. We'll call this our meditative interlude this evening. Yes, they do some chanting here. The Jai Radha Mada. Everyone feeling mellow? Yeah, you never know what we're going to come up with next on our music around here. It's Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn at your service. 303-696-1971. Off to the phone lines here in just a segundo. And yeah, we're doing double track. Coronavirus, COVID, lockdown, unsustainable, Spygate to Obamagate, Judge Sullivan. We're working it all in. And Trump this morning, with Maria Bartiromo, the great, the one and only Maria Bartiromo, the amazing Maria Bartiromo. When I offer a lot of Bartiromo praise, sometimes I get text to the studio saying, hey, settle down on that. But anyway, they were talking this morning, and they get to the Judge Sullivan thing. I'm going to talk to Father Hugh about Judge Sullivan here, but let's just hear a snippet or two of Trump this morning talking this through.
Have you spoken to Xi Jinping?
I have a very good relationship.
And that was the wrong button, Matt. Let me hit the right one, and let me grab my sheet. I was going off of memory. It's the other number 7. Here we go.
You know, one of the other things that is missing, the DNC server, where is it? Why is it that the FBI didn't take it? They arrested all these people, but they didn't arrest. They went in to see the people at DNC, right? They go in to see that, you know, her wonderful campaign manager, you know all about that, right? They went in to see those people whose brother, by the way, was supposed to be arrested, and the brother never got arrested, right?
Well, the same people working on the investigation into the Trump campaign, they were also working on the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email.
Yeah, oh yeah, except a slightly different level of intensity, okay?
Over by the middle of the year. They called it the mid-year review.
How about they walk in to see Hillary Clinton's people, 5 people, I think, and they said, you all have immunity, you all have no problem, you all have immunity. And with our people, they wanted to try and put them in jail, and in some cases they did. And those people are going to go down as heroes.
And you see, that's the general rule of law in the Obama era, yes? And it gets into Judge Sullivan here right now where Trump brings it up.
I think Carter Page is going to sue, and I wouldn't be surprised if General Flynn sues.
General Flynn's going to have a heck of a case, but he's got a judge that I guess doesn't like him very much. But maybe the judge doesn't like me very much, okay? Maybe the judge doesn't like me very much. I'll tell you what, I've read legal scholars. They can't even believe what the judge is doing to them.
Yeah, what Judge Sullivan has done, there is no legal excuse for this anywhere. He has to overlook the missing original 302. He has to overlook the RBG Supreme Court decision from last week. He has to overlook all of the Trove's thousands of pages of exculpatory information found by U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen. He has to overlook all of the shenanigans of Van Grack. But Judge Sullivan does not like Trump, does not like Flynn. That's abundantly obvious now, but he does like Eric Holder. Judge Sullivan does seem to like Eric Holder, good buddies apparently, and also seems to like Barack Obama. Pure political ploy to keep Obama out of hot water here before the election, and it's not going to work. That's the thing I would like to point out. It's not going to work. It's just this is a desperate plea for delay, and it's not going to work. Okay, it doesn't change anything. It won't change anything about the outcome, and it's just a little delay, and they've showed their hand. I mean, they have really showed their hand, and it's worse than we ever thought. And what does Father Hugh think? I mean, I've been giving you, Father Hugh, the hat tips that you figured Judge Sullivan was going to be up to something when he made his move on Monday, and sure enough, don't ever doubt Father Hugh. Let me just pass that on, yeah.
And I wish I had been wrong. But a couple of things. First, housekeeping. We haven't heard from Anatoly for a while, so we...
Years, yeah.
We need to get Anatoly. Maybe he's out on the steppes of Central Asia or whatever. Anyway, hope you're all well. Call in, Anatoly. We need you. Secondly, a bouquet. Civil disobedience on the lockdowns. You know, God love them. The women are the heroes. I mean, as you've seen, the two or three people who have stood up, like Shelley Luther, and then the woman at the Waterside Cafe or whatever.
And yeah, who's the woman who's running for Congress? And she's like lives in Rifle, Colorado.
Yeah,
and she's opening her place. She is really, really with it.
Yeah,
very impressive. I can't remember her name right now.
Lauren, I want to say Bogart is the best I can do.
Okay, yeah,
and she. She is like the. You listen to her story. It's like Horatio Alger in the distaff version. in any case, yeah, ladies, bouquets to you. And my own feeling is, it's pitchfork and torches time for Polis, and we need another demonstration next Sunday and the one after that. And
yeah, we'll see how long that he can hold out. And I do think, yeah, he's got to be under a lot of mainstream media pressure and left-wing governor pressure. And you knew that was going to happen.
Well,
but how long do you think that they can keep? I mean, it's hard enough to keep prisoners in prison. How are you going to keep the entire American nation in prison? Not going
to
happen.
Sorry to say this. One of the things that when we ripped off the Band-Aid, in the coronavirus, that's the way I analogize it, we discovered a lot of things about our culture, and amongst them is that a lot of politicians are just megalomaniacs.
And we've learned that now. It's perfect. They've shown who they are. They have unmasked themselves. By the way, President Trump just sent out a tweet, quote, "The number of coronavirus cases is strongly trending downward throughout the United States, with few exceptions. Very good news indeed," end quote. You know, if there were dead bodies lying on the streets every time you looked outside, I don't think we need to have law enforcement make us quarantine ourselves. You know what I mean? But there's not. The models have been reduced by 99%, and the trends are way, way down. It's time.
As we used to say in Ireland, it's a shandus, which is Yiddish for it's a scandal. And
yep.
The lying and everything that has gone. This business about falsifying the medical records. I mean, just a personal note.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what, Father Hugh, we could go all night on corona, right. But I need to get you on Judge Sullivan. You're
right.
A Harvard man.
Quickly.
What's Sullivan's deal?
It's scandal, of course, and it's an outrage. And the one saving grace that I think, there are a variety of things they can do. They can move to have him removed, or they can move to get a new judge, whatever. The one saving backstop, I believe, is that Judge Sullivan is counting that he's going to screw Flynn on the election. The problem is, Judge Sullivan, the election takes place in November. We will know whether Trump has won or lost. And even if he loses, Judge Sullivan, he has until January 19th to pardon Flynn.
Right. But by then, they'll think that they would have gotten away with it. You know, that Trump, if he were to lose, that he would be a lame duck in anything he does. And Flynn would have like a couple of months to do anything, and the media could tamp that down. You know what I mean?
Well, they're the hyenas.
Sure.
And so, I mean, basically, now technically for Jack in Wyoming, and I picked this up. I didn't go research it, but from Victoria Tonsing, who appeared with Jennifer on one of the radio shows, she said that the amicus curiae thing cannot apply in a criminal case. It applies only in civil cases.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, Judge...
There's nothing. He's got nothing to stand on. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, now I'll go to 100,000 feet. You know how I feel about the state of the legal profession over my lifetime, where, you know, you never know what the hell. You can have a Supreme Court opinion. Ace is sick of hearing about this case, where I had a Supreme Court opinion telling the Tenth Circuit that my client had to have a hearing, and they just ignored it. Opinion from Judge Ginsburg of 2 years ago, fresh. And it's the state of the law. They, you know, I'm going to make it up.
Judicial tyranny. Thomas Jefferson, that was something he warned about all the time in his letters of the early 1800s, if you read through those. He was no fan of the judges. He knew what they could become. And they're there, man. They've ripped off their black robes. And yeah. What's underneath?
Yeah.
Total corruption.
Yeah, anyway, so...
But don't you think it helps in a way to clarify? I mean, Sullivan, I mean, he has clarified where he is on this deal, and it's like, wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Because, you know, you can't touch him. You know, he's black, and little did you know, when I first heard Emmett Sullivan, I thought, oh, my God, we have an Irish judge on the D.C. Circuit. And of course, you just can't say anything. And you can't say, which I was about to say last weekend, and thankfully you cut me off. I was going to say, you know, he's in bed with Obama. He's gonna shill for Obama because he's...
That's exactly how it has played out.
Yeah.
But we're out of time, but how much... He's playing for time here, is Judge Sullivan. Do you think he's going to get much more time? I mean, is this going to really go on for another few months?
I don't know, because if you had an affirmative Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, I could go with it.
But yeah, Roberts should do something, yes?
This guy, but, you know, you remember Roberts, the fatuous comment that there are no Republican judges and there aren't any...
Yeah, Roberts is the guy who bailed out Obamacare twice. Maybe he's every bit as much in bed with Obama, but no. Sullivan, this still won't change anything, but Father Hugh, you're the man. Thank you, sir.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
A little more cheese tonight.
Don't leave me out in the rain.
And don't deny it.
Come back and bring back my smile.
You've got to love it.
Come and take these
as much
away.
As I do. Weezer version.
To hold me now, the nights are so unkind. Bring back the nights when I held you beside me.
Here we go.
Unbreak my heart. Say you love me again. Undo this hurt you caused when you walked out the door and walked out of my life. Uncry these tears. I cried so.
Doesn't this just move you? I know I am moved by this song, the old Unbreak My Heart, the cover version here. Weezer's a band that can do it all. They can do their own tunes, they can do cover tunes, and it's like Weezer Unlimited, man. I mean, they just never stop. At any rate, I looks like I've still got so much piled up on China and on the Obamagate, which is exploding as we speak. Twitter's trying to keep that down, but no luck for them. Joe Biden, things are just getting worse and worse for him. A huge percentage of Democrats want somebody else to be the nominee. Biden has been wrong on China his entire career. And Tara Reid, that is gaining momentum. Any VP selection for Joe Biden, guaranteed to be a female, is going to have to be massively hypocritical. to overlook what they did to Judge Kavanaugh, and then this Tara Reid stuff, which actually has credibility. Kavanaugh, that accusations had nothing. So they have to say, oh, well, that was nothing. Is Biden going to make it? Then we find out that Biden was one of the Flynn unmaskers. Oh, my gosh. They could not have picked a worse candidate, and he is still probably the best of the bunch. And he can't even speak. Yes, that is your Joe Biden. Kayleigh McEnany, the new press secretary for Donald Trump, has showed up, and she is just excellent, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be a huge asset heading into November 2020. Kayleigh McEnany goes in there and just sort of swats down one question after another from the corrupt mainstream media. They don't quite know how to handle her yet. They don't quite have a purchase point yet where they can sort of, beat her up, the way they did with, the daughter of the governor of Arkansas and Huckabee. They can't hit her like they hit Sarah Huckabee Sanders yet. So, they're going to look pretty mean if they do so. And by the way, we have the Pelosi Democrat stimulus package boondoggle, $1,200 for every illegal immigrant in America. Right out of the gate, all the all-mail ballot provisions, yeah, they're going to fight like the devil for all of that. And why don't we hear Peter Navarro was hitting on that pretty good. He was talking to Snuffleupagus this morning. Here we go on the Pelosi stimulus package.
Let's talk about the economic response. We saw some tough numbers at the end of the week on jobs, on manufacturing, on retail sales. The House passed that $3 trillion, the next stimulus package on Friday. Is that a basis for negotiation? Is the president prepared to sign another relief package?
So Nancy Pelosi basically lost me with that package when she has $1,200 checks for illegal immigrants, and it just goes downhill from there. What we have to do, George, is basically go with the fiscal and monetary stimulus that we've been going through. We've got a lot coursing through the system now. We may need more, and I'm going to let others above my pay grade negotiate that.
Chairman Powell says we do need more.
Well, what I'm focused on, George, and this is the real key to success, is going to be the structural adjustments we're going to have to make. For every service sector job we might lose as we adjust to this China virus, we're going to have to replace that with manufacturing jobs, which do have a high multiplier in terms of creating service sector jobs again. So
exactly, from Peter Navarro, who is just everything that guy touches is gold. Amazing. Peter Navarro, keep your eye on that guy. He's going to be key and integral to the upcoming decoupling with China. And, what is this? $1,200 for every illegal immigrant. And, every Democrat presidential candidate thinks that, free health care for illegal aliens in America, that's just not a winning platform running in 2020, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, and I'm just working a few things in, James Clapper, is he going to come testify? Lindsey Graham says he wants Clapper to come in and testify, right? Yeah, if you can believe Graham. But what does Clapper say? Oh, he couldn't possibly do it until he gets his vaccine for coronavirus. He's one of the Spygate perps, caught, dead to rights. And here's what he says.
Given my age demographic, I'd be happy to come after I've been vaccinated for COVID-19.
Would you testify remotely?
I could do it remotely, as the case with the Fauci hearing, or respond to questions or that sort of thing. But I don't particularly want to put my life or that of my wife in jeopardy for in-person testimony.
Yeah, okay. He's you just almost have to laugh. Clapper, he needs the vaccine before he's going to come in. And, he is caught. He has a long history of perjury and lying before Congress. He's got more that have come out in the recent weeks. And now he wants his vaccine. Oh, they're so caught, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is really enjoyable, at least if you're me. And by the way, I did not want to let this hour go by without celebrating if Kelly Michaels is there, we might go out with this song that I'm about to play. This song is about, did you know what Thursday was, the 14th? Thursday, the 14th of May, was National Chicken Dance Day. And it's like a very important day. I put it on my calendar in January. And here we go. Sometimes you gotta get up. Backbone Radio mandates that you stand up. and dance like a chicken. Oh, isn't it fun? Flap those wings. Flap them. Yeah, for whatever reason, and this is like a very important day, to have National Chicken Dance Day, which was, yeah, May 14th. And so around my household, we got the kids up, you know, we finish dinner, we start playing our, this is the Belgian, De Electronica version of Die Vogelt des Johns, which is called the Chicken Dance, if you translate it from the Belgian. Is everybody up? Is everybody with me? I can't see anyone, but I'm going to take it on faith that everybody's up, flapping their wings to the Chicken Dance. Need some volume. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, this song was released in 1980. It was the B-side of some song by these stodgy old accordion-playing, tuba-playing polka people from Belgium area. No one remembers what the A-side was, but this song took off and has had a life of its own. For good reason. I think you're with me on this, yes? It's been played at like almost every wedding since 1980. Also for good reason. Now we're gonna do the Chicken Dance. Thank you, boys. Thank you for the Chicken Dance. We'll be back.